Thank you, choir. Let me invite you to turn to Acts chapter 1 this morning, and I am so glad to be here. To those who are in the contemporary service, those who are watching online, those of you in the room, thank you for letting me be here today. I feel like I'm at home, by the way, just so you know. I graduated high school back in 1975. And when I graduated high school, I moved from one red light town to Rome, Georgia, to attend Shorter University, and spent 4 years there, and then two more years. My wife and I were married. She's from Cartersville. And I taught at Pepperell Middle School nearby. It was my first job out of college. And so I was called to ministry later, but on many occasions I've come to Rome, Georgia, and this area to do ministry, and actually was here about a year ago or so to do a leadership banquet with your Bible study leaders. Had a great time. And I was so honored when Philip called me really a few months ago to have him give me a heads up that this was coming, and then Richard called about coming and filling in today. And I want to give a shout out to Pastor Philip also. 27 years. You know, the typical Protestant church in America has had six pastors in that time. And he was here 27 years. And I think that's worth a praise. Can I get an amen? I'm thankful for that. I'm also honored to serve currently as Shorter University trustee with Dr. Don Dallas. And I enjoy his friendship and fellowship and Teresa, his wife, so much. And glad they're here today. But I'm glad to be with you as we look into God's Word. And I was just thinking about this day. It has to be so awkward for you, having had a pastor for 27 years in place. And it's an awkward day for Pastor Philip also. You can imagine not being in this pulpit today. Pray for him because it's a strange day. And don't think there's no grief involved on his end with making this transition as any pastor. Again, because he's deeply rooted in this congregation. He loved you so much. I know that. I know he expressed that last week. I know you expressed your love for him. But just be in prayer for him. But I thought it'd just be appropriate this morning as we think about this to address this topic. What do you do when you lose your leader? Now, for many years, I had the privilege of serving on the Georgia Baptist Mission Board staff, over 20 years. And while I was doing that, I had the opportunity to serve as interim pastor in 15 different churches. And I stepped into an amazing variety of situations, including going into a church where the founding pastor had retired, which was a very, again, unsettling to the congregation. I've been in a church where a beloved pastor had retired, a church of a very short tenured pastor, just there literally for a year or so, a church where a pastor had been fired and people were upset, you can imagine, a church where there was a very liberal pastorhood come in and caused a lot of damage, unfortunately. And followed long tenured pastors. I've just been in all kinds of situations. And I want you to know, in every situation, no matter whether it was positive or negative, because the pastor had retired, he'd been a long time, a short time, he was released, they loved him, didn't love him. The bottom line is it can be discouraging no matter what the circumstances are when the pastor departs. When you lose your leader, it can be unsettling even if you didn't like him, but much less if you loved your pastor and appreciated him. So what do you do in this situation? Well, I think we can learn from the apostles themselves when we go to the Acts of the Apostles following the Gospels. Now, let's just kind of be reminded what had happened leading up to Acts chapter 1. 43 days prior to what we're about to read, their leader hadn't resigned, had not retired. He had been brutally executed publicly right before their eyes. Can you imagine? And on top of that, a key leader in their group had betrayed them and actually had taken his own life. Like one of the staff members, for example, had taken his life. And then on top of that, they had hopes that they were going to break the foreign occupation that had consumed them for so many generations. They had been occupied by foreign powers, listen, for over 700 years. Now, our country's less than 250 years old. You can imagine over 700 years, first the Assyrians, and then the Babylonians, and then the Greeks under Alexander the Great, and then 90 years earlier, the Romans had come in. So over and over, people had invaded, and they were under the thumb of these different foreign powers. And then they experienced, after all that, the exuberance, the thrill of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's followed by another stunning event. You'll notice in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, if we read this, it says, after Jesus had suffered, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So we know after the resurrection, he was with them for another 40 days. So what a blessing to think that he was gone that he was dead, and now he has returned, and they've seen him alive. I want us to stand as we read God's word. We're going to read Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and ask God to speak to our hearts about what do we do when we lose our leader. Would you stand at this time, if you're in the contemporary service, would you stand right now? I hope you've got a copy of God's word, and you'll listen along or read on the screens. Here's what the writer says. He said, I wrote this first narrative, the Gospel of Luke, by the way. I wrote the first narrative, the Gospel of Luke, Theophilus, and that's who it's being addressed to, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given orders through his Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While he was together with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise. This, he said, is what you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom of Israel at this time? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he had said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. By the way, those who might suggest he could fake the resurrection, which I didn't believe he did, he couldn't fake this, ascending in front of these men into the clouds. While he was going, they were gazing into heaven. They were dumbstruck. They couldn't believe what they'd just seen. They'd just seen Jesus just rapture right before their eyes. And they were stunned. Suddenly, two men in white clothes stood by them, and they said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven. Let's pray. Father, as we look for a few moments into your word, God, speak to our hearts, strengthen us, comfort us, and give us what we need to move forward in the absence of a leader. Father, what do we do when we lose a leader? These men show us right here when you ascended to be back with the Father. God, help us to learn from this, to apply it in our lives. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. You'll see in your bulletin, if you'll follow the notes, you've already got my 4 points there. I'll make these very quickly, but I want to remind you of some things as a congregation. As a believer, if you're a guest, this applies to you also, whether you're a member here or not. And number one is this, when you lose your leader, remember where your strength lies. Go back to verses 4 and 5, and we're reminded of where our strength comes from. It says, while he was together, while Jesus was with the apostles, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, watch this, but to wait for the Father's promise. This, he said, is what you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Notice this promise of the Father. This likens back to John chapter 14, verse 6, when Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you a comforter that he may be with you forever. In other words, I'm going to send someone, and I'll be with you. Even when I'm not physically with you, I'm still with you in spirit. Of course, we know by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to tell you, it is very healthy to have a long-tenured pastor. Now, Richard referenced a book I wrote called Why They Stay, which is why young adults who grew up in church stay in church versus a lot being written about why we're losing them. And let me tell you one thing we discovered in our research. It was this. The fewer pastors, not staff members, but lead senior pastors, we discovered the fewer pastors that a child had growing up, the more likely they were in church when they were 35 and 45 years of age. I'll say it another way. The more pastors they had growing up, the less likely they were in church. And I want you to know that Pastor Phillips' investment here for 27 years has had a profound effect on those boys and girls and now adults who grew up in this church and increases the likelihood that they're still serving the Lord in the life of the church today. It makes a tremendous difference. But it's also beneficial, quite frankly, to experience more than one leader over the course of time because it is a reminder. It's a reminder of this. Listen carefully. And I want a good Baptist amen if you believe this. You ready? The strength of the body of Christ does not reside in the human leadership of the congregation, but in the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the might and power of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? That wasn't a great one, but it's all right. I want you to hear it again. Because this is the message right here. The strength of Pleasant Valley South does not reside in human leadership, but in the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the might and power of the Holy Spirit. What happens is, when God allows you to experience other leaders besides Philip May, who's a great pastor and loves you very much, it's a reminder that the Holy Spirit indwells. The Holy Spirit indwells the congregation, and the Holy Spirit is there no matter who is standing in the pulpit. So remember where your strength lies. God bless Philip May. We are thankful for Philip May. But God's power does not rest in Philip May. It rests in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit continues to serve and to work and to minister and to bless in this congregation. This is the perfect time to renew your focus on God's work through the Holy Spirit. For you day in and day out to be investing yourself in your relationship with Jesus and growing personally. So be sure to remember where your strength lies. But number two is this: be careful to avoid misunderstandings. Go look at verses 6 and 7. This is very interesting. So for just a moment, they get off track here. It says, so when they had come together, they asked Jesus, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom of Israel at this time? Now remember, they'd been 700 years under foreign occupation. Of late, it was the Romans. And they, in their mind, believed that the Messiah would overthrow the foreign occupying power and they would have autonomy once again as a nation of Israel. And Jesus said in verse 7 to them, it's not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. Now, we serve Jesus Christ and we serve primarily his kingdom. Now, we're in a political season and it gets real rocky and everything, but I'll be honest with you, it can get really distracting sometimes. I believe we should be engaged. I believe we should vote. But we've got to remember primarily what our focus is. And our focus is the kingdom of God and the mission given to us. But here's what I want you to know about this point right here, that you've got to be careful to avoid misunderstandings. The apostles, they brought up something, Jesus saying, that's just not relevant right now. You're talking politics. What we're talking about is the kingdom and people coming to faith in Christ and people repenting of sin. He begins to talk about the gospel, how we can come to faith, not through where we live, not through our nation, not through some religion, but through what happened on the cross when Jesus died for our sins, and that we can come into a relationship with him. So it was about the gospel. But they were confused. They got misfocused and started talking politics. And Jesus said, that's not what this is about. I'm reminded of how I used to get confused, especially as I get older. There was a gentleman, and he was very senior, and he'd gone to the doctor and received some instructions, and it wasn't a week later in a hot July day. The doctor is driving through the community, and he sees his patient jogging. This man ought not be jogging. He's jogging on a sidewalk, and he's wearing a tank top and shorts and tennis shoes, running shoes. He's got ear pods in. He's listening to music, and there he gets closer. There's a woman with him. She is drop-dead gorgeous. She's beautiful. She is decades his junior. But the doctor's just worried to death about this elderly patient being out in the hot sun after just being in his office a week or so earlier. So he pulls over and confronts this elderly patient and says, what are you doing out here? And the elderly gentleman looked at his doctor and said, doctor, I'm doing exactly what you told me to do when I left your office the other day. The doctor said, what are you talking about? He said, when I left your office the other day, you told me to get a hot mama and to be cheerful. He said, I did not. I said, you got a heart murmur. Be careful. As we get older, it gets easy to get confused. But it's not just those of us who are older, those of you who are younger. It's easy when you go through a transition like this, really, if you're not careful, to lose focus. And they had this frustration of, again, foreign occupation. So, Lord, are you going to restore Israel at this time? Are you going to throw off Roman bondage and persecution of us right now? And they're missing the point. So Jesus responds in verse 7. That's not the point. That's not what this is about. So in transition, you see here, it's easy to get confused and lose focus. And I want to say to you, in the coming weeks, it will be easy to lose focus. It will be easy to get confused. it will be easy to get frustrated, and you've got to be so careful. Frustrated by the circumstances of the disruption. Now, my most recent interim was actually my home church about 4 years ago. And I love my home church, but it was a little bit of a mess when I got there. There was some dissension, there was some disunity, there were some problems. It was real rocky. As a matter of fact, they brought in an interim pastor, and he was only there about 6 weeks and had a moral failure. And that wasn't even touching what all was going on with the staff and the congregation. And so I entered into a really rocky situation among people that I'd been with for many, many years as their interim pastor. But I'm just telling you what, there are all kinds of agendas out there and all kinds of confusion. And so my aim as I came in as their interim pastor with the staff and with the congregation was to get them focused on what God has for us and not all these periphery things, because they were talking about everything else but the gospel. And it's easy to happen during an interim time. I did something some years ago as I was walking through interims. I found so many common things. I go in and I talk about the 10 commandments of the interim. And since you're about to enter an interim season as of today, I want to share these with you. They weren't written for your church, but I trust me, at least 8 or 9 of these will apply to your church. And you need to hear these carefully. Number one is this: thou shalt not worship your former pastor, but God only. Can I get an amen? Don't mean you shouldn't love Philip and be thankful for him. Don't worship him. Worship God. Worship Christ. That's number one. Commandment number two: thou shalt not abandon your church or coast. If God called you here, he didn't call you to the pastor. He called you to himself. He called you to a local body of believers. Don't abandon the church. Commandment number three: thou shalt not take thy former pastor's name in vain. Because sometimes, you know, there's probably somebody here that got cross with him a couple times, or things weren't going so well, or maybe somebody misunderstood something. I will say this about your pastor, though, former pastor, future pastor. Pastors are not infallible. Ask my wife. We make mistakes. We misspeak. We make hundreds of decisions. Not all of them are the best decision, but we're trying to follow God's leading. Commandment number four: thou shalt remember the Sabbath is still the Sabbath, even when your church is without a full-time pastor. Did you know that? The Lord's Day is still the Lord's Day, regardless of who's standing here. As a matter of fact, it shouldn't matter who's standing here. You don't come based on who's standing here. You come by who is there, by Christ in your heart, by coming to serve and to worship him. Number five: thou shalt not punish your next pastor for any of your former pastor's shortcomings. I've seen that happen so often. If a pastor has some weaknesses, they'll penalize the next pastor based on the former pastor's shortcomings. Number six: thou shalt not kill your former pastor's reputation. It can speak for itself. And the reason I say that, I go into some churches where the former pastor was problematic, and people have a lot to say when they just need to, hey, he's gone, just move forward. Commandment number seven: thou shalt step up to leadership and not down for leadership during the interim season. And I'll say this, I don't know who I'm talking about, but one of you right now, sitting there right now in the contemporary service in here, you're thinking about, now that Philip's gone, I'm going to step down. What? God's not gone. Christ is not gone. As a matter of fact, this is the worst time to step down. You do not step down. Now, there may come a time for that. You may want to shift over to another ministry. You may want to step aside, but now is not the time. Not during the interim. During the interim is the time where God's men and women, boys and girls and teenagers, you step up to leadership. You do not step down during the interim season. That does harm to the congregation. Number eight: thou shalt not steal God's tithe because you're upset with his children or without a full-time pastor. There's still needs here. There's still ministry to take place. There's still missions to conduct. So don't let up your faithful giving. Buckle down. Number nine: thou shalt not, listen to me carefully, this happens when a pastor leaves many times, thou shalt not covet control, but unity. Unity is number one, not control, not agendas. Thou shalt not covet control, but seek unity. Number 10, thou shalt continue to be a witness to your neighbors and community. The Great Commission is not suspended during the interim. It is still there. It is still our responsibility. Can I get an amen? And we need to move forward. So when you lose your leader, remember where your strength lies. Be careful to avoid misunderstandings. Number three is this: refocus on the mission. This is a time when you remind yourself, you refresh yourself. And we see it right here in Acts chapter 1. Jesus did this. He said, now listen, guys, let me point you back to what this is about. Acts 1:8. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, we've already received that power. And it says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So as a congregation, you know, congregations are wonderful developing vision statements and mission statements, but for mission, it's already determined for us, and it's seen right here. This is the Great Commission restated as you find it in Matthew chapter 28. Our mission is to be witnesses. We know Matthew 28, where Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, he said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, all peoples, all generations, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. That is the mission. Jesus has already established it. He's given it. And again, as I said earlier, it has not been suspended. So you focus there as a congregation, but then personally, you also know where to focus because Jesus gave us the primary focus for our lives. You may recall a circumstance when Jesus was living. We find it in Matthew chapter 22, when a religious leader came up to him and asked him what he thought was a trick question. He said, what is the most important commandment? Now, background here. In the Old Testament, there are about 600 plus do's and don'ts. You can find about 600 commands. Now, not just the Ten Commandments, but commands in the Old Testament. Now, some of the civil law, some of the ceremonial law, some of the moral law. Another story for another day. The point being, there's a lot of them. And they were saying, Jesus, and this is a much debated subject, if you had to rank them, what would be number one? Now, this is interesting. What he did not appreciate, he asked the question of the man who knows the answer. Because Jesus is the Word of God. He knows the answer. And so with no hesitation, Jesus said, I'll tell you what number one is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the main thing. Now notice, he didn't say love God more than other people love God. He didn't say love God a pretty good bit. He didn't say love God a lot. He said love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. And then he had said, by the way, I'll give you a bonus. Here's number two. Love your neighbor as yourself. He says, as a matter of fact, if you do those two, you'll pretty much follow the other 598. It will take care of it. It's like a driver. Or it propels everything else. So your focus during this interim is to go back to your own relationship with God. Your own relationship with Jesus. Where are you in your journey? What is your next step in your personal growth? How's your time going with God on Monday through Saturday? How's your time in the Word Monday through Saturday? How is your service going? So you begin to focus on the mission. You focus on yourself and your service. Consider what happened when the apostles focused on this reminder to refocus on the mission. Now, can we get an agreement here that the greatest preacher of all time was Jesus? Can I get an amen? No doubt about it. But after Jesus left, here are these uneducated, untrained men who had received the Holy Spirit began to preach to God, began to preach the Word of God, and 3,000 people came to faith at one time, the day of Pentecost. During this transition, there's never a story where on one day 3,000 came to faith. Not to say it did not happen under Christ's preaching ministry. It may have, but it's not recorded. But right here, greater things were done, even among the apostles, because it was God, it was Christ, it was the Holy Spirit working through them. It's still God doing His work, but He's teaching us something. God does His work through His people, not just through the pastors, not just through the staff, not just through the physical presence of Christ, but through the Spirit of Christ. The key takeaway is this: while your pastor may change, the mission does not. When you lose your leader, remember where your strength lies. Be careful to avoid misunderstandings, to lose focus, and then refocus on the mission, which is the Great Commission, and of course, your relationship with Christ. Well, one more here. Number four, get actively engaged in your work. Actively engage your work. Verses 9 through 11. After Jesus had said this, he was taken away or taken up as they were watching. They saw him ascend and a cloud took him out of their sight. That had to be an amazing experience. while he was going, they were gazing into heaven. They were dumbfounded. They were gazing into heaven. Suddenly, two men in white clothes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven." In other words, why are you just standing around? There's more to be done. There's work to do. Right now, 75% of Americans claim to be Christian. Now, I'm not saying they're born again, but if you ask them their affiliation, they claim to be Christian. 39% of Americans say they attend church regularly, which, by the way, means at least once monthly, is the definition to the typical American. Before the pandemic in 2020, according to research from Outreach Magazine, about 18% of Americans were in church on a given Sunday. LifeWay reported in 2022 that 65% of those who had disconnected during the pandemic had returned to the church. That means about 16% of those who claim to be Christians today are currently attending. Or another way to look at it is this: about 1 in 6 people who claim to be a Christian will actually be in worship in America today. That tells you that fewer than that are sharing the gospel. Fewer than that are impacting for the kingdom's sake. Fewer than that are serving. And this begs a question, and I want to ask you, and this is not a rhetorical question. It's not just a preacher question. I got lights in my eyes. I can't see you, but right now I want to look you, each and every one, in the contemporary worship online and here. I want to stand face to face, eye to eye, as I ask these questions. Listen, this is for you personally, whether you're a member or a guest. What if you have different speakers each week for a while? Will you be faithful because of this? Because you love God. So what if you do have different speakers for the next 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks? Will you be faithful? As a matter of fact, I'll do it this way. Whether you're in contemporary service or right here, I want to ask you, and I want a response from you as you're talking to me personally, okay? So members, let me ask it again. What if you have different speakers every week for a while? Will you still be faithful? Will you? All right, I'm going to hold you to it. I'll be back in November. I'm going to check up on that, okay? Looking forward to it. What if you have an interim pastor and you don't like him very much? Will you still be faithful? See, he's just temporary if he's interim, by the way. Okay, he's going to be here for a few months. Don't base anything on that. Just love him, bless him, encourage him, pray for him. What if it takes a while to get a new pastor in place? What if it takes 2 years? 2.5 years. Will you still be faithful? Okay, some of you, good. All right. Again, I'm talking to everyone. I'm not talking to some of you. I'm talking to every person in the room personally. Again, I wish I could be face-to-face while I ask this, okay? What if a conflict arises and you have to work through it as a congregation and some people are upset? Will you still be faithful? I'm not predicting that, by the way. I'm just saying, you know, during these times, it's unsettled, and sometimes it's, you know, trying to find our way. Things happen sometimes, but you got to commit. I'm going to be faithful, prayerful, supportive, and unified no matter what, okay? Let's get right to it. Is Jesus Christ enough for you? I'm going to ask it again. I'm not asking about the church. I'm not asking about the pastor. I'm not asking about the pulpit. I'm not asking about who's preaching. I'm asking you this personally. Got some folks in the choir. Is Jesus Christ enough for you? Let me ask you.
Yes.
Yeah. It doesn't matter who's standing here. It doesn't matter if things are a little shaky sometimes. It's about Christ. It's about God's work in our life. Is he enough for you to be faithful in worship? Is he enough to motivate you to serve? Will you step up or will you step back as we move into 2025? Listen to me. You are about to learn a lot about the strength of your own personal faith in the next few months. Did you know that? Some of you, you've never known another pastor. If you're 35 or under, really, you can't even remember another pastor. But whether you're 35 and under or 35 and older, you're about to learn a lot about your faith and where you stand If it is a mature faith, what's going to happen in the next few months? You're going to step up like you never have before. That tells you you've got a mature faith. You actually step up even more than you have. However, if it is a immature faith, you'll begin to waver a little bit. You'll get a little shaky. And let me tell you this, if it is an empty faith, you'll walk away. And you can watch it. I'm not predicting it, but somebody's going to walk away and go say, why did they leave? Well, it may be because they had an empty faith. And it was based on who was standing here instead of who was residing here. So get actively engaged. Why? We are servants of a kingdom, and our Lord has called us to serve. He's not called us to wait. He's not called us to pause. He's not called us to stand still. He's not called us to wonder, but to advance the gospel. So when you do, here's what happens. When you do what I'm saying here, hurting people receive healing. You grow stronger, and that benefits your family. You get the perspective that you're going to need for the difficulties that you will ultimately encounter in life. You experience life change in your circles, and you get encouragement from the Holy Spirit when you do these things. When you step up and you base your faith on who Christ is instead of who the pastor is. So here's the conclusion. Verses 10 and 11, let me read them again. While Jesus was going, they were staring up into heaven, and suddenly two men in white clothes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking around? Why are you looking up into heaven? This same Jesus who has been taken away from you into heaven will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven." Listen, God loves you with all of his heart. It has been demonstrated when he gave his only son, Jesus, to give his life so that you could be forgiven of your sin, so that you could have a love relationship with him, so that you could have eternity in heaven. You see, when you serve the Lord, and when you love God with all of your heart, it does not mean that your life will be trouble-free. But you will experience a freedom that lifts you up out of the storms that you will go through. It will help you to appreciate the blessings in those seasons of calmness. Now, let me tell you what Pastor Philip was, who I love as a dear friend. Pastor Philip was a season. A season in your life and the season of the life of this church. Now there's a new season, and we look forward to that season and God working. So you begin to appreciate the blessings, the seasons of calmness that ripples out, that inspires others as they see you and your steady hand. Although the church is without a pastor, no, you're not panicked about it. You know, you've got a steady hand. And what happens when people see you being steady about it? It gives them encouragement to love him as you love him. My God is the creator. My God is the redeemer. My God is my guide. My God is my hope. My God is my father. My God is my friend. My God is the ever-present help in times of trouble. He is the source of wisdom. He's my fountain of life. He is my rescuer. He is my redeemer. He holds the world in his hands. He holds me in the heart. And how can I help but to serve him as I follow his leadership in the places of my life that he sends me, and I express my love by serving, even when I go through seasons like this, when I lose my leader. How about you? You've lost a leader, not the leader. The leader is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm gonna invite you today. We're gonna stand in just a moment, and Mark's gonna come and lead us in a hymn of invitation. And there are some of you gonna come today and just pray for your church. Not because there's any major thing happening. You're saying, "Lord, just praying for unity." And God, just praying this is a season of blessing. And God, that you focus us on you, that you help us to be thankful for our past, but Father, looking forward to the future, patient during this interim season as we move towards that, and just to pray. Someone else is coming today to take one of the staff by the hand and say, "Today, that Jesus who died for my sins, I need to give my heart to him. I need to receive his forgiveness." And if that is your need today, listen, you come today. Let us pray with you. Let us walk with you. Begin that discipleship journey for you as you trust Christ today. Some of you may need to come and take your next step in your spiritual journey, which may be to be baptized or to take some role of leadership or membership, whatever it is. Or maybe simply to come and stand on behalf of this congregation to, as a leader, to encourage forward movement in the coming year. Let's just do this. Let's stand right now, if you would. Mark, you come on and get ready to lead us in our music. Staff members who are standing down front, come and make your way. And we're not going to have a long extended invitation, but if you're responding, we'll take time on that. But let's let God move, and let's think back just for one moment before I start this. I've been praying for God to speak to your heart, and he did. Question: did you hear is the question. Did you hear the Holy Spirit speak to your heart? What did he say to you this morning in the contemporary service right here online? What did he say to you? What are you going to do with it? Well, some of you, we need to begin a response right now. So when I pray, let's do that. Father, as we have this time of reflection and invitation, God, help us to take this message to heart, to apply it to our lives, and to strengthen this church. And God, I pray that this church is even stronger and has momentum when a new pastor arrives. But in this season of interim, help us to stay strong and stay steady and to trust you in all things, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.